Our theme today is make room for revival. Make room for revival. I've learned that the life we live now, and because of the challenges we have, the businesses, the issues we carry around, it's very hard to find time to pray, leave alone to make time for God. And sometimes, and if we make that time, the stuff we carry around is just too much. From anxiety, to so many other things that we carry around with us. And I was reflecting on this as I looked at this book of Isaiah 54. Isaiah is encouraging the children of Israel that had faced so much challenges. They had almost given up hope. And Isaiah reminds them to enlarge their tent, to create space for the presence of God. This message is for me today. I'm preaching for myself. Because sometimes I get so much caught up in the challenges, in the things of this world, in the things that come day to day, and sometimes I don't have that time that I really want to have with God. I have this picture of, I've seen these guys who go and help people to make homes to be better in there. I can't remember the name of the program, but I've seen some of these homes where you find things are everywhere. You're not sure about the sitting room, and sometimes we do. All of us have the same weaknesses because we are so busy. We're just so busy sometimes to put everything, and those of us who have kids, sometimes you put things together, kids push them off and throw them everywhere. But what I'm saying today is sometimes you find that there's so much around us in the house, in the things we carry around ourselves, that we don't have space for something new, something fresh. And today's message is to encourage us that how do we create space? How can we create freshness for the Spirit of God, for God to come into our lives and do something fresh in us, for something new? Because the challenge is on us to let go the junk, to let go the clutter, to let go the things that hinder us, to let go the things that easily entangle us to sin and allow the presence of God to come into our lives and make something new into our lives. Blackaby suggests that when God comes to our life in power, it's always a time of rejoicing and expectation for the future. Isaiah 61 compares this experience to that of a child born to a previous barren woman. And this is what Isaiah declares. Seeing barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate women than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. I want you to think about a married couple. I want you to think about a married couple. I'm sharing this because I've shared this before, that when we got married, we didn't have children like immediately, you know. And sometimes you pray, sometimes you get a bit anxious, sometimes you think about it. And I want you to think about that couple that has gotten married, that have been patiently waiting for a child. And then along the line, after a few years, you walk into your doctor's clinic, and the doctor gives you this note that says, positive. I want to imagine even how you're going to make that room. I've seen ladies, especially, let me talk to women this particular time, the deco, the color of the room, the bed, the things of the baby, you really want to prepare them for this little angel that is coming to home. And that's why Isaiah is encouraging Israel to enlarge the tent, to create space for something fresh, for something new that is coming to change their lives. And that's why Isaiah is proclaiming here that when God comes into your life, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Isaiah invites us to consider our spiritual barrenness and anticipate the divine transformation that comes from God's loving grace. Like I mentioned earlier, maybe I'm talking to myself. Sometimes I feel the spiritual dryness, the spiritual hunger, that there's something, God, that I'm looking for, but I can't take hold of that particular thing. And I'm being encouraged to prepare myself for that. Be ready. For those of us who love rugby league, the grand final is tonight. And I've been watching both camps from Sydney and from Melbourne, the Storm and the Panthers. These guys have been preparing for this thing from January. They've been working hard, and the day is here, the final. These guys, I don't even think they slept last night. How many of us love rugby league, honestly? I know some of us watch footy. No rugby league fans here? Oh, only David. So I'm going to be watching with you tonight, David. Oh, there's team down there. But these guys have been preparing for this. And using this metaphor of a barren woman, Isaiah encourages Israel to make room in anticipation of growth, likening it to the multiplying descendants of Abraham. So today, as we think about making room for Christ, I found a very good picture in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. 2 Kings, chapter 4, gives us a nice picture of how and examples of people actually who made room for God to allow the work of God to work in their lives. And we're just quickly going to look at that. Tim? Yeah. The widow's empty jars with olive oil in 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. You can read that, but I've highlighted a bit of that. It talks about a widow who is a wife of a man from the company of prophets. I want you to think about this. This widow was just like any person who did not know about God. This widow had a history of God. She came from a family of prophets. But I'm pretty sure by the time Elisha got to this lady's place, she was desperate. She was hopeless. She did not know what to do with what she was facing. And she cried out to Elisha about her dire circumstances, including a looming debt and the threat of her sons being taken as slaves. The next one, Tim. Elisha instructs her to make room by gathering empty jars from her neighbors and then to start pouring her small jar of oil into them. The oil does not run out until all jars are filled, providing the means for her to pay her debt and to live on what remains. It's getting a little bit warmer, sorry. This widow had every reason. This lady had every reason not to open her house for anyone. She had lost everything. She had lost her husband. But she chose to open her house for Elisha. She opened her home for Elisha. She received Elisha. But Elisha did not just walk into a house and say, "Receive the oil." Elisha walks into this house and tells, "If you can get every empty container that you can get, I'll fill it." Elisha instructs her to make room by gathering empty jars from her neighbors and then to start pouring her small jar of oil into them. I want us to go back because I want to think about, you know, making room sometimes requires a bit of effort. Making room requires to step out, talk to people. And this lady goes out even collecting jars from her neighbors. The second scenario I want us to look at is number two there, Tim, yeah. Is this lady, the Shunammite woman, hospitality. The widow makes room by collecting jars. And this lady, it says, Elisha and his servant Jairus regularly received hospitality from this Shunammite woman. But later, this woman and her husband decided to make room for Elisha, put in a bed, a table and a chair, and a lamp. Acknowledging her kindness, Elisha wanted to reward her. After finding out she had no son and her husband was old, Elisha promised her a son. Despite her disbelief, she conceived and gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had said. This is another lady that had given up hope. She knew that Elisha was a man of God. She knew that a man of God was capable of giving and declaring anything God had asked him to give, but she doubted. Because of the situation, because of the condition. But she made room. She made room for God to do something. She made room to experience something from God. I'm sharing this to encourage somebody that you're giving hope. You're feeling hopeless today. You're feeling that your situation may not be redeemable. That I'm sharing with you, these two women that had hopeless situations, they were giving up. The widow was giving up her properties. Her children were about to be taken to be slaves. But she made room for the ministry of God. This couple, the husband was so old, if you read the story, that given hope of even looking as a child, but they made room to experience the work of God. The question today for you and I as Christians, how do we make room for him? We want to experience the miracles of Christ. We want to experience the work of Christ in our lives. We want to experience the power of Christ in our lives. But our life is so busy. Our life is so clogged up. Our life is so mixed with a lot of junk. I'm sharing even me. That's what I'm saying, we. But yet we want Christ to come and do something. I want to encourage us that it doesn't matter how hopeless the situation may appear. It doesn't matter how the circumstances come across for you. God is still God. He never changes. And he's asking you and I to make room for him to do something, to fulfill his purpose, to make his works in our lives. So as I finish, I want to give us three quick things that we can do from this lesson, this story we've read. Hospitality is so important. And I've said, if we struggle with the visible people, if I struggle with my wife that I see every day as a Christian, if I struggle with my brother as a Christian here, the visible, the person I can see, how much can I struggle with the invisible? Christ. How harder can it be that I struggle with the invisible Christ? Jesus said that if anyone welcomes you, welcomes me. If anyone welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones, who is my disciple? Truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. I want to encourage those of us who go for fellowships. Those of us that have opened homes for people to come and have small groups. Those of us who meet together and have small groups. Those are the things we can embrace the work of Christ, the presence of Christ among us. And if you've never been to a small group before, maybe think about it. Or maybe you can host one. Hospitality is it's a very important thing. Host somebody. Take somebody for coffee and share. Encourage somebody. I always admire Maggie. Sorry to use you today. I always admire Maggie. I always get Maggie and Wendy down at Chino's enjoying a cup of coffee. Well done, ladies. And I've seen other people. Some of us, you know, the week can be so busy from Monday to Monday. You can be so busy, even for your own sake. Your well-being yourself is dying. Leave alone the ones we look after. I have to encourage us. Think about yourself, your well-being. Christ is not just forcing you. He's saying, look at your well-being. Look at your speech, your care, yourself. Think about your life. What happens when you break down? Your company will hire somebody else tomorrow. Your name will be among the obituaries. Death and funeral of so-and-so. You're gone. Your position will be covered. But nobody can replace you in your family. And to encourage men today, no one will be your father to your kids or nobody will be your mom to your kids. Nobody can fill your shoes. At home, your place in the company, in the business can be replaced. We can cry for the first day, the second day, next week we forget about you. Make room for Christ. You know, I've learned that it's very easy to become so comfortable with religion that you don't even notice the absence of God. That's sometimes how busy we become. I'm saying we because I know. Maybe, but you guys are okay. Kerang Baptist is okay, you know. But sometimes you can be so busy until you forget that somebody is, even in the house, people forget. Sometimes you're so busy in the house, you forget that the other party is in the house because you log out in the morning very early and you log in the night. People don't even know you about your absence. Can you just take me a little bit on the worship bit? I want to talk about that. Because worship is very key. When I talk about worship, it's not just about singing. And that's what I put there. It's about prayer. It's about singing. It's about everything we do for God. And God designed worship for us to see Him in glory and to respond appropriately. And He gave us prayer so that we can have a conversation with Him. I like this scripture that says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me." Worship gives us a time to open up to God, to go before Him, to release things that challenge us in our hearts. Maybe sin that we struggle. Maybe it's forgiveness we struggle. The things that we struggle, when we go before God in worship, it gives us that time to go before Him and talk to Him. I went to a Catholic school a long time ago, and I remember those days as a Catholic. You know, we used to go to our father to talk to him. But now I don't have to talk to a father. You don't have to talk to me about your situation. Worship gives you that opportunity to talk to your Father in heaven and tell Him what you're going through. And the last thing, see there, let's talk about number C. We need to pull down strongholds. I was looking at different definitions of strongholds, and this one stood out for me, that a spiritual stronghold is a deeply rooted ungodly thought that you can justify thinking and doing even though you know that it goes against God's will. And if left unresolved, the more you entertain it, the more it establish it becomes. You know, for many years, we made to believe that stronger are just demons, you know, or sins, you know, but stronger than so much. And some of the things may not necessarily be the sin that we struggle with. Satan uses strongholds to influence people's actions. He manipulates people by planting ungodly thoughts in their minds. For example, when Satan enticed Eve to sin, the more she considered his words, the deeper the thought took root in her mind until it compelled her to sin. That's how deep strongholds can be. The Bible talks about us not giving the enemy the footstool. Because when we give him the platform, when we give the enemy the platform, he enjoys it. He enjoys it. I was talking to a clinical person here as a nurse. You know, sometimes they deal with infections, control. And we were looking at it like a wound. You know, sometimes if a wound not taken care of, you know what happens with that? The tiny, tiny things, bacteria, whatever you call them, they find a place to enjoy. They find a stronghold. They can really enjoy it. Let Next one, Tim. That's why Paul is reminding that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. He continued to say, verse 5, he demolished arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Each one of us, there's a stronghold that you're struggling with. It may be a small stronghold, it may be a big one, but it's building up. It's building up. And sometimes, like I said, it may not be something big. It may just be something small that it's not big, you know. But sometimes they can build up and become so bad, addictions that you're fighting to get away from, but you're struggling to withdraw from them. Paul talks about in Romans 7, he says that the things that I want to do, my flesh does the opposite. Because my spirit is willing, my heart loves God, my heart wants God, but my other bit of me does opposite. And those are the challenges of strongholds. Because when they come into our lives, they build, they come, but they stay. I've seen people say, you know, you can just resist. You know, the Bible talks about resisting, but resisting is not just speaking to it. It's actually running away from it. It's acknowledging and saying no. Because the presence of God cannot mix with the things the flesh is struggling with. We have a choice. You can either choose the presence of God or choose the stronghold. You cannot let go one and embrace the other. We can't have both. As I finish today, I want to say it's not easy to identify a stronghold or to get rid of it. But when we make room for God, or when we allow God to work in our lives, then we begin to experience His work. Maybe your heart today, your heart has been growing cold towards God. Unbelief, doubt, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, pride. I've just listed many that are slowly becoming a stronghold. I've said, you know, unforgiveness, whatever that is there, anger. Bitterness. Those things can be so tiny, but they're building up in our lives. Unbelief is so strong. It begins by just doubting a bit, but unbelief can build and become so strong. And as those things start growing strong in our journey, they become strongholds that move us away from God, that disconnect us from God. And it's very hard to remove them. My question today for you and I, what gives you meaning and purpose? Is it the things we do day to day? Or is the power that of Him? Jesus Christ. I want to invite the worship team to come back. And the worship team's come back. I want to think about your journey. Are you finding your heart growing cold towards God? Are you struggling to embrace the things of God? Are you having a problem embracing Christianity? Are you those people sometimes when people talk about Christianity, you want to hide? I've said before, when I was a teenager, I used to hide my Bible in the jacket. I had a tiny Bible, small one. I used to hide in the jacket because I didn't want my friends to see the Bible. If you're able to stand, or you want to sit, feel free. But if you want to stand, because I want to pray for us this morning. Those of us who are able to stand, stand. Those of us who feel you want to sit, it's okay. Feel free to sit. Don't feel like you have to stand. I want to pray for us. Because the church today is struggling. When you sing about our music in the world, we get so excited. The other day I saw a lady come to Melbourne. Almost 90,000 people are there cheering. But I can't sing for God, even a single song. I can't tell him how awesome you are, awesome. You're loving, you're holy. I can't even tell my own God. I feel ashamed myself sometimes. But I can sing Matilda and exalt Matilda. I'm not saying Matilda is a bad song. I'm just saying, how can we be? Father, we thank you. And I pray, Lord, may you help us. Because the lady, the widow, passed the test when Elisha went to her house. A Shunammite lady and her husband, they passed the test. And I pray, Lord, may you help us to pass the test. May you help us to embrace your presence in us, that we'll make room for you to begin a journey in our lives. Maybe for some of us today, you've never even made that step of even starting a journey with him. So even making a room is not easy. But I pray today will be a good time for you to embrace that. I pray for those of us that are feeling cold towards God. I pray for those of us who are feeling cold towards the things of God. I pray for those of us who are struggling to embrace God in our lives. I pray, God, may you forgive us and help us to embrace you, Father. We want to start this journey with you, God, of revival. That as we look for our journey next time of revival, we want to experience that. Thank you, Jesus.